Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. I'm certain if Donna Knoll is here at the 10:30 service, she'll chew me out for using Mike Krzyzewski as a positive example, because she's a North Carolina fan and she's convinced that Mike Krzyzewski is the second coming of the Antichrist. Mike Krzyzewski is the head coach at Duke University basketball team, but his early college days were spent at a location on the Hudson River called the United States Military Academy. That's where he was. And they have a program where the cadets that are going to be part of the incoming cadet corps gather every summer for something called Beast Barracks, all right? And it's not intended to be a lot of fun. It's actually intended to be sort of a testing period by which you examine who you are and what your call is. You feel, are you really called to be a lieutenant or a captain or a general in the United States Army or not? And so it's intended to sort of help drum out those that are a little weak in the spirit, a little weak in attitude. And Mike Krzyzewski was apparently placed with a group of people that he considered to be less than worthy. Less than worthy. And they would keep being given, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, you're in this uniform, go inside and change and get back outside in a new uniform. All right? And it was a bit of a testing thing, and Mike was consistently ready. He'd dash back in, and he would have himself ready, and he'd get ready to try to help everybody else out, and he'd fall back out there, but they'd be late. They'd constantly be late, over and over and over again. So the group kept getting chewed out for being late. So Krzyzewski decided one day, to heck with everybody else. I'm going to not worry about everybody else. I'm going to only focus on myself. And as soon as I'm ready, I'm going to go outside. And so the whistle blew. Everybody's supposed to be standing there. And the only person standing there in that squad that Mike Krzyzewski was in was Mike Krzyzewski. Now, I think he probably thought he was going to get blessed. He thought they were going to come out there and say, "Boy, Mike, boy, Cadet Krzyzewski, you are really, really good for the fact that you made it out here on time." That is not what happened. That is not what happened. Instead, what happened is that the upperclassman cadet came out there and basically let him have it. And he let him have it because Mike was operating off the idea that it was all about him. He was focused on himself. And he got brought back to a reality of the fact that without everybody else there, the group wasn't complete. He needed the rest of the group in order for it to be whole. So the group was still broken because everybody was not there. Now, I want you to hold that thought for a few seconds as we sort of walk through this passage that we had here that Marilyn read so well for us here. Although, Marilyn, do you care if I call him Matthias? Is that okay with you? That's all right with you? Okay. I'm going to call him Matthias, all right, if that's all right. And if you've got this passage here, it stands in between Jesus having left and Pentecost. Now, the beauty of this particular, I mean, the beauty of this, let me start over again. Part of this is interesting because Jesus has just departed and they're standing there looking up in the sky. You know, where'd he go? What's going on? And an angel shows up and says, "What you staring at the sky for? Get about your task. Get back to Jerusalem. Get about the task that Jesus has called you to do." And so they step back and go, "Oh, okay, we need to go to Jerusalem." Now, for Luke, it's important that the gift of the Holy Spirit come to them in Jerusalem. Why? Jesus is executed in Jerusalem. So the story for Luke tapers down to get to Jerusalem, and you have this element of brokenness, and the healing begins to occur on Easter Sunday. The resurrection story starts to occur, the empty tomb, and they start to have these encounters, and they want to be able to get the church going, started there in Jerusalem, and explode back out into the rest of the world. Now, this passage that Marilyn read is interesting. Starts off with Peter doing some things. Now, let's get our memory banks recalibrated a little bit. What's going on? Peter has just 40-something days earlier has just rejected Jesus. He has basically had the chance to stand tall and be counted on, and he fails. But here, he seems to have found his voice in some kind of way. In some kind of way, he has said, it's time for me to lead. Jesus is gone, and I need to lead. And in part, how does he do that? He goes back and gathers everybody together, and he prays. He prays and leads the group in prayer. And in that prayer time, he begins to realize that he's got a message that he needs to do as it relates to the incompleteness of the group. Judas is now gone. The group is incomplete. All the members of the squad aren't there anymore. And it's a chance for him to say, you know, what does Scripture tell me? And he goes to Psalm 109. And in Psalm 109, you have this passage there where I have had these problems with leadership, and we need to replace the missing person. So prayer, Scripture, and then they move to a place of bringing in Matthias to bring the group back to whole. Now, as a digression, it has nothing to do with the sermon overall. Obviously, Luke has not read the United Methodist Church's Book of Discipline as he does this. That's supposed to be mildly humorous there. I could have a little bit of laughter there. Because he has a lottery. So next time I tell the United Methodist women, you can't have a lottery, Marilyn, you can sit back and point. You can point to Acts 1 and say, Luke and Jesus allowed lotteries to occur, so we'll do that. And so Matthias, we get the impression he wins the lottery, okay? Because according to tradition, everybody who becomes one of the 12 ends up with a gory, miserable death. I'm not sure he wins the lottery, but he gets the lottery, and Matthias is chosen. Prayer, Scripture, healing of brokenness. Prayer is important. Prayer is vitally important. This week, when Adam Hamilton of Church of the Resurrection, the largest church in Methodism, spoke in Denver, he said, you know, when he gets out there and gives a honker of a sermon, and he says he does periodically, step out there and really give a bad, he almost feels like he almost wants to turn around the congregation and apologize as part of the benediction. That was really a terrible sermon. I can't believe how bad my sermon was. He says he never done it yet. I haven't done it yet either. I've felt that way more than once. But he stands out there and he says, when he realizes that he doesn't give the best sermon in the world, it's often because he didn't pray enough that week. Here in this particular passage, Peter and the disciples want to enter into a conversation of both talking to God and listening back to God of what it is that God wants them to do. And they do that through prayer. So I think one of the most important things for us to take from this passage first is that God answers, God gives us guidance, God gives us instruction through prayer. And sometimes that prayer points us towards Scripture. Here in this passage, Peter stands up and he preaches a sermon. Preaches a sermon about what it is that Scripture calls them to do in God's world. And part of this, he points back to Psalm 109 about replacing the losses that are there. Now, the third point is the one I really want to focus the most on for today, which is the fact that the group is incomplete. The group is incomplete. Judas is gone. Judas has, he's dead. And he's betrayed the group, and he's not there anymore. Now, some of you may read this passage, and you sit there and say, well, Jesus is gone too. Jesus is gone too. I wonder why we only replace one because of Judas. Because isn't Peter going to move up and take Jesus' place as the leader of the group? And so you need to replace two? No. No, that's, if you were thinking that, that's not the case. Because the group of 12 will still need to be there. But Jesus is still the leader of the group. He's still the leader of the disciples. He is still, as we use the words from Hebrews, the goal, Hebrews 12, the goal upon which the group fixes its vision and continues to focus upon. 12. Where does 12 come from? It comes from the Old Testament. You have the group of 12 here, and it's incomplete. It's out of kilter. It's not ready to go do what it needs to go do in the world because it's missing someone. It needs to be returned to its state. It needs to be returned to a place where it is whole. It is incomplete. It's broken. And now it's being returned to a state of wholeness. And so they ask Matthias. They have a lottery, have a raffle, and choose Matthias to be the leader. Now, I read this passage, and I confess to you, in the 21st century, I wonder why Judas's replacement had to be a man. Who were the most loyal people at the crucifixion, at the resurrection? It was the women. I don't know why. I wish that the nature of the story in the first century had been that a woman could have been the one chosen, but that unfortunately is not the way it was. This group is rendered complete once this 12th person is there. Now, what are we to take from the passage for us today? I would suggest that one of the ideas for us is the fact that at some point in time, we all experience brokenness. We all experience brokenness. And how do we get back to a state of wholeness? I would say several of the ways we get back to wholeness is by talking to God regularly in prayer, recognizing that Scripture helps define us, helps inform us, helps move us to a place of wholeness, and then also looking around and asking ourselves, who's maybe not here? Who's not part of the group? It would be easy for us to sit down and focus on the fact that when we could be like Mike Krzyzewski, 1965, at West Point, New York, and we could sit down and say, it's all about me. It's all about me and my role and my task, and I need to get myself ready, but I'm not going to worry about anybody else. And I would think that we're forgetting the nature of what God, what Jesus, what the Holy Spirit invites us to see, invites us to understand, that the group, the body, is not complete when there are people missing, when they're not there. Now, I realize that today is a little lower attendance Sunday than normal. But I would say to you, look around the group here. And who is normally here who's not here today? Yeah, a sizable body of people that are not here today. Now, they may be off camping or doing some Boy Scout kind of things, or. But I would say to you, one of the things that I would invite you to do is to glance around and say, who's not here? And then this week, pick up the phone and call them and say, we missed you. We missed you. The group was not complete because you weren't here. That's what I would think one of the invitations for us there is. But I would also say to you, there are people that are not here because they're not part of this. Matthias was not part of the disciples. He was not part of the original 12. And they reached out and they said, come join us. Come be part of us. And I would say to you, one of the things we need to also focus on is this idea of being prepared to invite people to be part of this group, to be part of moving to wholeness as part of the church. F. Scott Fitzgerald, in his book, The Great Gatsby, says, "In the end, we're all just human, drunk on the idea that love and only love can heal our brokenness." Love is a component part of fixing brokenness, and I reject Gatsby. I reject F. Scott Fitzgerald on that, because he's saying that we're drunk on the idea that only love can heal us. I think love is a component part of how we get healed, but we also get healed in community. We get healed by being with others. We get healed by being with others who will help remind us at times what it is that we need to do, what it is that we say that we're going to do. And how do we maybe get there? Prayer, study of Scripture, and help others as well as ourselves move from a place of brokenness to wholeness. And you may sit there and say, "Pastor Dennis, that is just impossible because I'm so broken myself. How on earth can I do that?" One Christian writer says, "God uses broken things." Have you ever noticed it takes broken soil to produce a crop? Broken clouds give us rain. Broken grain to give us bread. Broken bread to give us strength. And here, Peter starts the story. We would have every reason to expect him to be broken, weeping bitterly in his pain over having rejected Jesus at the moment of his greatest need, who instead helps us understand that he returns to the story with greater power than ever before. Krzyzewski learned a lesson that day on the bluffs overlooking the Hudson River. He realized that it was in community, in this six or eight other people, that he was strong. It wasn't important for him to be there by himself. What was important for him to be there as part of a group. The group became whole once they were all there. We know so little about Matthias. All we really know about him is that he got to be part of the 12. And we could sit there and listen to this story and think that because nothing else seems to happen in the story about Matthias, that this merging him in is a failure. It's not. It's not. This is actually quite the opposite. This is the beginning of the change that will happen, of where the gift of the Holy Spirit comes, which there will be an explosion out over the rest of the Mediterranean and the rest of the world, carrying Jesus' message out into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then the rest of the world. Why? How? The group has been returned to wholeness. They've moved from brokenness to wholeness, and they've moved out. If that's not part of our own individual life stories, if it's not part of our story here at Hilltop, then I don't understand the stories. All of us get a chance to move from this area of brokenness to wholeness by prayer, study of Scripture, and realizing who is not here and looking around for them and inviting them to be part of our journey. Krzyzewski learned a lesson that day. My guess is Peter learned a lesson that day. My guess is the group, the disciples, the apostles, learned a lesson that day. And they moved to a place of wholeness. And as a result of that, began the journey that changed the world. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious God, we are truly, all of us, wounded. But those wounds seem to be necessary because this healing light from our wounds enters into our beings. Without wounds and failure and frustrations and defeats, there's no openings for the brilliance of your light to enter into our soul and tickle and invade our lives. Failures in life are courses with very high tuition fees. So invite us not to cut those classes and miss our lessons. Give us lessons on humility, on patience, on hope, on asking others for help, on listening to God, on trying again and again and again to seek wholeness in all that we do through prayer, scripture, and looking around for the other who is not here with us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of God's children say, Amen. Please stand as you are able. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.